Every plant my Father planted not will be uprooted. We've been talking about foundational teachings in the church, things that many people either never knew or have forgotten. For we have people leaving the truth and going into that which is error. And that's what we've been speaking of when I've spoken this summer. We've talked about how to be in the Lord. We've talked about the purpose of baptism. We've talked about what baptism means to us. And I want today to talk about something that has caused a lot of division in the church. It's caused problems to come in the church. We want to talk about the music that God desires. We've been singing. And John's been leading us in singing, and that's beautiful singing to the Lord. God wants singing. There's 9 passages in the New Testament that speaks about what God desires. And all these passages speak of singing. John said, he read what Paul wrote, what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write, speaking to one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart unto God. That's the music that God desires. I want to give you some words right quick. Need to go over this quickly. That speaks that we use for music, the music God wants. The first one that I want to speak to is they sung a hymn in Matthew 26 and verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, this was after he initiated the Lord's Supper. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the same thing is said in Mark. That is the same passage. And in Acts 16:25, we have, after midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns unto God. And in Hebrews 2, verse 12, after he says in verse 11 that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, then he quotes Psalms 22:22. He said, I will declare thy name, I will sing thy praise unto thy brethren. Declare thy name unto the brethren, I will sing praise unto thee. Those are the words that we translate singing a hymn. Humneo, that's the verb. The next word is the noun of that word, where we get our word hymn from. It's only used 2 times. In the passage I just spoke in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. In Colossians 3:16, he tells you to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making grace in your heart unto God. The next word that we want to look at is, we translate sing. The word is psalo, which means to sing. Now this word is used in 4 passages. Romans 15:9, where Paul quotes Psalms 18:49. He says, I will sing thy praises, I'll sing unto thee. He's singing. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, he says, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding also. He is singing. Those are the words for singing. He uses that word in James 5, verse 13. Is any man suffering? Let him pray. Is any man cheerful? Let him sing praises unto God. That's the word sing. This word is the word where we sometimes have some problems with people because of the etymology of the word. The word originally, way back there in the Old Testament times, meant to pluck something, like plucking a harp, plucking the string of something. But as words changed in the meaning by the way they were used, the lexicon definition of that word, by the Strong's definition, says in the New Testament, sing a hymn to celebrate the praises of God. But this is a word where people will say, well, the original word meant to pluck like you pluck an instrument. But the meaning of words change. For instance, when I was a young man, years ago, the word gay was a good word. To me, when somebody was gay, that meant he was happy. He was joyful. But today when you hear the word gay, it no longer means that. It means something evil, according to our Lord. So words change. By New Testament times, this word meant only to sing. The noun of that word is the word where we get the word Psalms. All these words that we have in English come straight from the Greek. Psalo is to sing. Psalmos is psalms. And the seven places that it's used is all referring to the Psalms of David. The next word, if I'm going to get it, maybe not. Not working. There, got Psalms. Okay, next word is singing. Ado. Ado is used in Ephesians 5:19. Singing and making melody in your heart. It's used in Colossians 3:16. Singing with grace in your heart. It is used in Revelation. Chapter 5, verse 9, they sang a new song. In chapter 14, verse 3, they sang, as it were, the song of Moses. Chapter 15, verse 3, they sang the song of Moses. Now, the noun of that word is ode, from which we get the word ode. We all know what an ode is. People sing an ode to somebody. It means they sang a song, is what the word means. But we call it ode, but the real word is ode. It's used five times. Again, in the same passages that the verb is used in. Because remember, in the book of Revelation, which I mentioned, it says, and they sang a new song. The verb and the noun is both used. Chapter 14, they sang, as it were, a new song. The verb and the noun. In chapter 15, they sang the song of Moses, a verb and a noun. A problem comes up when we bring things into what God did not say. Because God is the only one that is deserving of mankind's worship. And God never, ever left the worship to man's desire, what man desired to do. It was always what God directed to do. And we have people, the denominational world out here, that said God allowed instruments in the Old Testament. Well, to start with, we're talking about two different times, but God never allowed instruments in the Old Testament. Say, that's strange. They played instruments. Yes, they played instruments by the commandment of God. He didn't allow it. It was his commandment. God never accepts worship which he did not command. 2 Corinthians chapter 29, verse 25. It says, this is in times of Hezekiah, they set the Levites in the house of God with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and Gad his seer and Nathan the prophet, for the commandment was of Jehovah by his prophets. God always determines the worship that he will accept. That commandment for them to use those instruments, he said, was of Jehovah. And even at that, in the Old Testament times, the instrument was never used anywhere except in the temple in Jerusalem. All the synagogues that are around Jerusalem, all over the country, wherever Jews were, there was never an instrument used in any synagogue. It was only for temple worship. When we speak of a cappella, what does the word a cappella mean? Well, to us in this day, that's another word that's changed the meaning. To us in this day, a cappella means unaccompanied singing. That's not the meaning of a cappella. A cappella means in chapel style. A cappella in chapel style, according to the way you do in the assembled worship. That's the meaning of the word a cappella. But why does it mean to us unaccompanied music? Because that was the meaning that came out of the fact that the assemblies never used an instrument. Assemblies that worship God never used instruments. The instruments were used by the heathens in all of their festivals and all their idolatry and all their debauchery. But the brethren never used instruments of music. Instruments, if instruments are to be used, then they're to be commanded by God. If they were commanded by God, we don't have a choice whether we use it or whether we don't use it. Our only thing is to obey what God told us to do. If he told us to sing, then we're to sing. If he told us to use an instrument, then we have necessity need to use an instrument. But if God indicated that they were to use instruments in worship to God, then the apostles and all of the Christians for until the 8th century were in rebellion to God's command, because there was no instrument in a worship, and it was a Catholic assembly, about 760 years A.D. before an instrument ever came in to the worship. And that was by the Catholics. God uses the word sing. Sing is a specific command, not a generic command. If God had said, make beautiful music in praise to me, music is a generic command. A lot of things are music. You could play an organ, you could play a piano, you could blow a trumpet, you could play a guitar, you could even beat on drums. That's music, or noise sometimes. But that's a generic term, music. God didn't use that term. God used the term sing, which is a specific command. Paul warns us in Colossians 2, we'll start in about verse 20. If you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world you subject yourselves to ordinances, handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all which things are to perish with the using, after the doctrines and precepts of men, which show indeed A show of wisdom in will worship, in humility and severity to the body, which are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. The word will worship, the word translated will worship, according to the lexicon, means worship when one prescribes and devises for himself, contrary to the contents and nature of faith, which ought to be directed to Christ. Whatever God tells us is the limit of what he will accept. The silence of God's word is just as binding as the commandment is. Meaning that God doesn't have to say, you can't do that, you can't do that, don't do this. People make excuses for themselves. They say, God didn't forbid it. Well, God doesn't have to forbid it verbally, because he forbid it when he told you what to do. Anything outside of what God told you to do, God is not acceptable to God. For instance, when God told Noah, if God had told Noah to build an ark, if that's all he said, Moses could have made that thing out of wood, out of steel, out of fiberglass, or whatever he wanted to. But when God says you make a boat out of wood, that eliminates everything. He doesn't have to say, don't use steel, don't use fiberglass. He said, use wood. That eliminates everything else. Well, had he just said, make an ark out of wood, you could have used oak, you could have used spruce out here, we got a lot of it, you could have used elm or cottonwood, whatever you wanted to do. But when he said, make an ark out of gopher wood, that eliminates every wood except gopher wood. When he told him how many levels to make, make one door in it, make one window, he doesn't have to forbid anything else. There's many examples. We'll mention one more example, which you're very familiar with. In Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, you have the problem of Nadab and Abihu. Who were Nadab and Abihu? They're the sons of Aaron, the high priest. So they are the correct people. It says they took, in verse 1, they took their censers. They took the correct thing. They laid incense on it. That's the correct thing. We have the correct people doing the correct thing, with the correct thing, to offer the correct thing. But it says in verse 2, they offered strange fire. What made it strange? Isn't fire just fire? What's the difference in fire? Fire is fire, whether it's here or over there. He said they offered strange fire, which Jehovah had not commanded. Did God forbid that fire? Not verbally. God didn't say, don't use that fire. But he told him to use the fire from the altar. Now, when he says use the fire from the altar, any other fire is strange fire. Now, we might think that's a little thing. This fire or that fire, it's just fire. What's the difference? The difference is God had not commanded it. If it's outside of God's specific command, God won't accept it. How do we know God won't accept it? Well, he sent fire from heaven and killed both of them, boom, on the spot. And we think that's a little thing? God didn't think it was a little thing. In fact, God forbid Aaron, those two's fathers, and Eleazar and Ithamar, their brothers, to even mourn. God says you'll be in agreements with this to the extent you won't let your hair down or tear your clothes, which meant you're in mourning. He said, lest you die. Pretty serious thing with God, wasn't it? Because they offered fire. He calls it, the Bible calls it strange fire. But the only thing strange about it was that God did not command it. Whatever God tells us to do is what we can do. That's what God wants. Listen, it's not about us. We have people leaving the assembly of God's people to find something or some place that is more convenient to what I like. It's not about us. It's about God. We came here to worship God. It's not about us. We come here to praise God. Now, I want to quickly, we're going to run out of time here before I get around to what I'm doing here. The purpose of singing is to teach, admonish, and praise. He says in Colossians 3:16, we'll quote these things many times, huh? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. James, is anybody cheerful? Let him sing praise to God. So what we do when we sing, the purpose of singing is to teach one another, to instruct one another, to admonish one another, and to praise God. Ooh, that dumped it all out there. The manner in which we sing. By singing, Christians make melody in their hearts to God. Ephesians 5:19, singing with melody in your hearts unto God. They sing with grace in their hearts unto God. Colossians 3:16, singing with grace in your heart unto God. They sing in the spirit and with the understanding, which we said a while ago. 1 Corinthians 14:15. I will sing with the spirit and with the understanding. And the manner in which we sing. We sing in spirit and in truth. Jesus tells the Samaritan woman in John 4:23-24. He says, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God seeks such to be his worshipers. God is a spirit. He that worships God must worship in spirit and in truth. The manner in which we sing is from the heart. We've already talked about Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. You sing from the heart. Make melody from your heart unto God. We sing, it is to God and it is to one another. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and spiritual hymns, spiritual songs. That's the manner in which we speak. All these things, look at everything that's on there. We teach, we admonish, we praise. We make melody in our hearts and sing with grace in our hearts unto God. We sing in the spirit and the understanding. We sing in spirit and in truth. We do it from the heart to God and instructing one another. There's not a thing in all that God commands in the music and that he commands us to offer him that an instrument can do. An instrument can do not one of those things that God commands us to do in our worship to him. Well, is the instrument really wrong? How much going beyond God's will he accept? Well, we've seen from Old Testament examples, you know, Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4 says the things written beforehand were written for our learning, that through comforts and patience of the scripture, we might have hope. We just saw from a couple examples in the Old Testament, there's many others if we had time, to show that God doesn't have to say, don't do something. He only accepts what he tells us to do. Is the instrument really wrong? Jesus is the head of the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, he says, you are the body. The church is the body. Jesus is the head. Now, in our bodies, what portion of our bodies does all the thinking and all the decision making? Our head. My hand doesn't think. My hand only does what my head tells it to do. My hand will do nothing until my mind, my head, tells it to do something. And it says, make a fist, boom, it makes a fist. If it doesn't tell it to do anything, it doesn't do anything. That lets us know that Jesus is the head of the body and God doesn't accept what he doesn't command. Is it really wrong? Phew, dump the whole thing again. It is not taught by Christ. In Acts 1, verse 1, Luke writing says, my former treatise, which I wrote, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began to do and to teach. He said, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And in all that he wrote, and all that he taught, and all that he did not teach the use of the instrument. 1 Peter 2, 21. Hereunto were you called, that Jesus suffered and left an example for you that we ought to follow in his steps. Whatever we do, we're called to follow in Jesus' steps. If Jesus did it, we do it. If Jesus commanded it, we command it. If he didn't do it, we don't do it. If he didn't command it, we don't command it. It's not in the doctrine of Christ. It has nothing to do with the doctrine of Christ. John gives a big warning. 2 John 9 through 11. He that goeth onward and abideth not in the teachings of Christ hath not God. The only way you can use an instrument is to go onward and not abide in the teachings of Christ. He that abides in the teaching hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes into you and not brings his teaching, receiving not into your house, neither giving greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh of his evil works. It is not taught by the apostles. The last commandment that Jesus gave the apostles before he ascends into heaven, Matthew 28, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all authority. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. They never taught anything about the instrument because they taught all things Jesus taught them. And Jesus did not teach the instrument. The apostles did not teach the instrument. And Paul warns Timothy, hold the pattern of sound doctrine which you receive from me with love and faith which is in Jesus Christ. You hold that pattern, not something outside the pattern. When you take a pattern, when a lady takes a pattern and makes a shirt, it doesn't have three arms. There's nothing added to it. It is a pattern that you follow that pattern. He warns him, he tells him, as Paul's going to Macedonia, in 1 Timothy 1, 3, he leaves Timothy in Ephesus that he might charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine. They are not to teach different doctrines. John, in 1 John 4, verse 6, says the same warning. We, the apostles, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that knows not God hears us not. By this, you'll know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Are we in the spirit of truth or the spirit of error? Jesus, in his prayer, John 17, in verse 8 and verse 14. Speaking to God, he says, the word that you gave me, I gave unto them. So everything these apostles said is not even Christ's will, it's God's will. Jesus tells you in John 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receives not my sayings has one that judge him. The word that I spoke shall judge him in the last day, for I spake not of myself, but the Father that sent me gave me a commandment, what I should speak and what I should teach, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. Jesus gave that word which he brought from God to the apostles. There is no instrument. The instrument is the spirit of error. That's not listening to the apostles. It was not taught by the Spirit. Not taught by the Spirit. Jesus says in John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. What did the apostles receive? They received all truth. He says in 14:26, when the Spirit comes, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will bring to remembrance all things that I've spoken to you. In all the truth that the Holy Spirit guided them into, in teaching them all things and bringing to the remembrance all things that Jesus spoke, there is no instrument. You cannot be led by the Spirit and use an instrument in your worship to God. You can't do it. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are children of God. If you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit. You can't be led by the Spirit and use an instrument because the Spirit never taught it. It's not found in truth. John 1, verse 17, tells you that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. People that want to go back and use things that were under Mosaical law, when you bring something out of the Mosaical law to use under the new covenant, you got to bring it all. Just like Paul tells them in Galatians 5, he that accepts circumcision is debtor to do the whole law. If you bring the music out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, you're indebted to do the whole Old Testament law. You've got to bring animal sacrifices. You've got to burn incense. You have got to go to Jerusalem three times a year at the feast. We're not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant that is a covenant of truth. The Spirit guided them into all truth. It's not found in truth. The truth does not contain an instrument. There is no part of truth that has anything to do with an instrument. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's no freedom without the truth. And there's no truth outside of the word of Christ. And there is no instrument in all of that. It is not to be used. He says, sanctify them in truth. Praying to God about the apostles. Thy word is truth. You worship him in spirit and in truth. It is not according to faith. The instrument wasn't taught by Jesus, wasn't taught by the apostles, wasn't taught by the Spirit. It's not in the truth. It's not in the faith. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Nowhere in all the word of Christ can the instrument be found. It's not part of the faith. Therefore, it is not a faith. Now, in Romans 14, Paul is talking about weak brethren and strong brethren. He's talking about whether you can eat meat sacrificed to idols or not. Paul says the strong can eat it and the weak can't. The strong deserve every day the same. The weak deserve special days. But he sums it all up in verse 23 when he says, "He that doubteth is condemned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith," because he eateth not of faith. "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He that doubteth and doeth is a fool," he says. He is condemned because he didn't do it by faith. You cannot use an instrument in the music that God desires by faith. Therefore, he said, it is of sin. We've not talked about anything that would bring a person to Christ. We're talking about what people that are in Christ do to worship God. But if you're here and you're not in Christ, we won't close without giving you the opportunity and inviting you to come to Christ, believe in Christ, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized into him and wash away all of your sins and live with him eternally. You may have fallen away and need to come back. You may need help from the brethren. Whatever you need, John's going to lead us in a song. And while we're standing and singing, come forward and state what we can do to help you.